Welcome back to Immunize Wisely on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is April 13th of 2024, and I am your host, Ingrid Castle. I'm the director of Vaccination Liberation, a national grassroots association dedicated to providing information on vaccinations and injections of all kinds, not often made available to the public, and clearly being censored a lot, so that we can all make the only informed choice, which is complete avoidance and refusal. And that, you know, really goes for all pharmaceutical drugs, because we're going to be talking a lot about Pfizer this evening. Anyway, our websites are vaccinetruth.com, vaccinetruth.net, and our main website is VACLIB, V-A-C-L-I-B, short for Vaccination Liberation, .org. Yeah, and we also have .com that redirects if you don't remember that. We're an organization. You might just go to V-A-C-L-I-B.com. It'll take you there. And we have lots of great information there, as I've shared before. My business website is humbleweed.net. That's like a tumbleweed, but it's a humble weed. And I'm a networker, so it's .net. And, you know, I want people to be real clear that the weeds out there are most often our healers. You know, it's not just dandelion, but sheep soil around here is considered a weed, and it's very specific for cancer. But that's where I sell specific products to help people recover their health in this day and age of pharmaceutical drugs, vaccines, chemicals, microwave radiation, and the chemtrails have been pretty intense lately, as many of you have also shared with me in different parts of the country. But anyway, the title of the show, Immunize Wisely, is so that we can figure out strengthening our immune function so that while we navigate this toxic world. And this is why I've been mentioning, you know, the importance of iodine and sulfur to keep your immune system robust so that you don't, you know, get sick at just about everything that comes down the pike. So your body's gradually, you know, constantly fortified and detoxing. But anyway, we have a chat room. The show. Thank you, Mer Bailey, for creating our chat room. And she's hasn't been, you know, involved that much in the chat room lately because she is taking the Sabbath on Saturdays. But you can participate by going to Immunize Wisely, all run together. Wisely is stylized with a Z, dot cha tango, C-H-A tango.com. And I've already dropped some stuff I'm going to be talking about for the first 20 minutes before I bring on Justin Leslie with he's the Pfizer whistleblower that had issues with Project Veritas and then O'Keefe Media. Anyway, we have I want to remind everyone, of course, how important it is to support this network. Be a monthly subscriber or donator. I mean, if you're new to this show or new to the network, you know, it's really important that you support this professional network of patriots and people that aren't afraid to dig deep. So, you know, you can purchase products. They have a special now on water purifiers or water filters. I'd encourage you to take advantage of these. You're going to really wish you had in the next several months that you had maybe prepared a little bit more. Our food supply is really going down the tubes. And, you know, we have all kinds of poisoning happening on an intensified level. So the news feed's been great, you know, kind of keeping people apprised that, you know, this crap is still going on, and that none of these people have oaths of office. You know, we brought that up last week with the interview of Todd Callender by Greg Reese, and that's summarized and repeated in the news feed. The fact that, and that's on republicbroadcasting.org, You know, so, you know, this is all the players here. No oath of office on file. They are not working for us whatsoever. You know, they certainly don't care about the Constitution, because an oath, a proper oath, would show that there's not anyone who has sworn an oath to defend the Constitution. So you can find that with, you know, Todd Callender has a team at Project Proper Oath, where they're finding that, you know, there's not one person in this current cabinet of federal officials that were appointed by resident Joe Biden that has any proper oath of office. So I thought that was worth looking at and exploring and sharing with others. I think it's important for people to realize that this is literally a SHIT show here. So so we have what were the other things I posted actually in the chat room? There's several things, but I feel like I should address a little bit John Moore's show from April 11th. I usually am not listening to the radio that early in the morning for me. I'm on Pacific time, and John Moore's show is pretty early, and I have a different routine in the morning and a business. So, but he had Len Horowitz on, and my name came up, and Sherry Tenpenny, and, you know, just, you know, I apparently wanted them to meet, and that we met at his house. I encouraged him to go to her talk. I mean, this is way historical. It's in the past. For me, things that are in the past, if you have grudges or grievances, you release them. This is part of the gospel, is forgiveness. I listened to it, and I was pretty astounded that any messianic, you know, Jew or whatever that professes that he follows the gospel would, you know, feel this way after this many years. We're talking, you know, over 20 years. So my lesson for today is, as I pray for you, we are both changed at depth. So I encourage people to pray. You know, I may feel uncomfortable if asked to pray for someone who challenges me or with whom I disagree, but I believe each person is worthy of prayer, and it is my honor to pray. As I prepare to hold another in prayer, I begin by surrendering my resistance. I go within and release any prejudices or judgments. Only then am I able to pray with an open mind and heart. The gospel, by the way, I just want to say, I can go on and on, but it's, you know, they refer to Romans chapter 1, verse 9. For God, whom I serve with my spirit by announcing the gospel of his Son, is my witness that without ceasing I remember you always in my prayers. So, you know, the whole idea here is that as you pray for someone, you can release some of that. It comes out of your heart. The whole gospel of Jesus is about becoming more heart-centered and loving one another. And there was nothing that anyone else has ever done to me. It's my perception. I can change my perception anytime. And this is what really the heart of the gospel is, changing your perception. You know, so anyway, with that said, I don't want to go into the past anymore. I just feel like I think it speaks for itself, the April 11th show. I do agree with the host, John Moore, that it is really poor decorum to disagree with a host's guest on air. You can go ahead and find their contact information, how you can contact them and take that off air. You know, I certainly feel like that's just respectful. That's just my strong opinion on that, so I would agree with John on that. So, without much further ado, this is what is going on right now. We have an EMF Hazards Summit, April 11th through 14th, and it is free, emfhazards.com. And I brought this up on the show, but it has great speakers just how exponential this illness is happening, that what we call microwave sickness. And it's actually considered a medical condition. I know a woman in this area who actually has a bona fide disability, and you know, and has, you know, ADA stuff. So anyway, hold on 1 second. It's my guest. Hold on. Yeah, I'm on air right now. And you can just get on Skype and just wait for me, okay? Whenever you get a chance. Okay, that's fine. Thanks. Okay, so he's logging on and he'll join us in a minute. I just wanted to, you know, this. So this is characterized. I mean, they say right now, that was in 2017, 50% of the world was getting this microwave sickness. 50%, that's 2017. So we're moving up to 5G on top of it. How many people do you know that don't have headaches, anxiety, sleep disturbances, fatigue, difficulty in concentrating, and changes in their cardiovascular and central nervous systems that occurs from chronic exposure to wireless radiation that is below government limits, and that 3 to 30% of the population suffer from it? Well, it's actually much higher than that. I mean, most people just really aren't aware. I know so many people suffering from insomnia. So anyway, it is recognized as a condition by the ADA since 2002. So, and now children are getting this more and more. Tinnitus is a huge problem, heart rhythm problems, and mysterious rashes like eczema and psoriasis. So, and your doctors are completely unaware of it. Most of these doctors are in a 5G office, you know, so, you know, wireless office. So I encourage you, there's still time to sign up, emfhazards.com, and, you know, the rest of this evening and tomorrow, you can try to catch some of it. So, and then iodine, this is one of the reasons, you know, people are short on iodine. I've talked to so many people. So I'm talking to this one lady. She was kind of a highlight for my week. She, you know, Sally in Ohio, she is finally breaking through the mind control of how these doctors, you know, it's just business trying to kill her, you know, as a cancer patient. So she's getting with the program and totally recovering with my coaching, and she's going to an EE system, and they're actually offering it to her as a gift because she doesn't really have much money. And I mean she's feeling great, lots of energy. I mean, this is a woman that was, you know, going downhill from pancreatic cancer to spread to her liver after tons of chemo and radiation, and now she's starting to detox intensely and getting orange fluorescent stuff out of her stools, all from the chemo. When you start detoxing from this nasty stuff, just really horrible. Anyhow, one of the more interesting things that came across my desk is the eclipse. We think, well, that was Monday. Well, it's not over. The Earth is totally responding in very fascinating ways. I challenge anyone to go to a website, Ventusky. It's like Sky, Ventures Sky or something. Anyway, go to Ventusky or Ventu Sky .com, and you'll see that the oceans coming up from the, you know, starting around the Antarctica area and coming up into the Pacific and Atlantic oceans, I mean, it's producing these huge waves and it's spreading all over. And there's a reason they have told people to get off the coast. And when you see the size of these waves, it is wow. I mean, and then they had this one thing that happened soon after the eclipse. People think it was a meteor. They were having 80-foot waves. I mean, 80-foot waves. And then it seemed to all of a sudden just disappear once it hit north of the equator into the Atlantic Ocean. And then it just seemed to disappear from the map. very odd. So anyway, I put links in the chat room at immunizewisely.chatandgo.com or chatango.com. Hal Turner, this is what he had to say about it. Let me see. He was like not really sure if he wanted to report on it. He says he gets, you know, news tips all the time, and it was from a scientist, and then pretty soon he sends it off and, you know, is there anything going on? You know, a lot of hoopla, nothing really happened. We're talking about a meteor strike, but did a meteor actually hit? Maybe it did. He says, I'm starting to think that, yes, the meteor story was true, but incorrect on its impact timing. I think this anomaly we're seeing on Ventusky, I don't know how to, you know, I guess you say it, VENTUSky.com, is a result of that meteor impact. So that's what Hal Turner is saying. He resisted reporting on it, but, you know, the evidence is there, and it's pretty incredible. So I put all those links there. And the last thing is, they're anticipating possibly the EBS happening soon. So I'd encourage everyone to have their 10 days of food, water, you know, medications. If you're on a thyroid medication, my gosh, get that or whatever. But this, there's a whole bunch of chatter going on in the military, and everyone's kind of mum, but there's definitely major movements going on. And it was reported today on Real Raw News that military mobilizes behind President Trump, but it looks like it's pretty real. I mean, you know, Michael Baxter, that's his, you know, pen name, has really tried to dig in, and they're all pretty mum, and the movement's obvious. So, and it was like, he said 72 hours, Trump had a message embedded in a fundraising email that, you know, had something to do with 72 hours, everything's going to change. So, anyway, just put that under your hat. You know, we've heard this a lot. Everyone's like, really? You're going to, you know, but, you know, it's like, you know, call Wolf too many times and pretty soon, well. Anyway, let me go ahead and introduce my guest. So I have Justin Leslie is our guest, and he's a whistleblower, and he started a website, justintegrity.net. So you can go there. justintegrity.net. Justin Leslie graduated from Rhode Island University with a Bachelor's of Science degree in Biomedical and Pharmaceutical Sciences with a minor in Business Cum Laude. He began working for Pfizer Incorporated as a contractor for MindLance Incorporated, and that was in March 2021 in Andover, Massachusetts. Justin was hired and trained to be a formulation analytical scientist on the mRNA COVID-19 vaccine platform, as well as mRNA flu and self-amplifying RNA flu formulations vaccine work. He resigned from his position at Pfizer on April 12, 2022, for reasons detailed in his affidavit posted at justintegrity.net. And you can go to the tab up there. It says Project Whistleblower. And he has a lot of detail there. He put out a couple documentaries. We did have them posted on republicbroadcasting.org. And I put those links again in the chat room. And he also has a Rumble channel. And he also has Give, Send, Go. It's givesendgo.com, Project Whistleblower. And I'm going to put all these in the chat room so you know how to find them on social media. And also, if you have Cash App, you can, you know, donate them at least a coffee or something, because, you know, he rushed from delivering pizzas to get here for the show. and he really wants this information out. And it's not easy going from, you know, a professional to delivering pizzas. And it's not easy to even make it in this day and age of inflation. So he needs our support as a young journalist, you know, budding journalist, whistleblower that did an incredible job on these documentaries. So without much further ado, welcome to Immunize Wisely, Justin.
Hi, Ingrid. Thank you for having me. Thanks for that. You know, busy, I guess, you know, doing my best to, you know, save the world and doing pizzas at the same time. It's kind of funny. So,
yeah, especially when you think of Pizzagate and all that expose. But, you know, we do what we have to do. I've told people, you know, I'm not too proud to, you know, be a janitor and clean the floors at McDonald's if it comes down to it. As long as I'm able-bodied, I can, you know, work to put a roof over my head, you know. I'll do anything. I'm not too proud to clean toilets, you know. I've done about everything in my life, you know. So, but you know, when you get older, you figure out, you know, trying to work for yourself, and you're really doing a great job, Justin. I'm really thankful you agreed to come on the show. In fact, when I told a couple people, they're like, "Oh my gosh, you've got him on. I've got to listen. I've got to make sure I listen." They got all really excited because you've really made the circuit, and people are really proud of you. And I know there's a lot more people that want to support your efforts. But, you know, I have one burning question. I didn't quite get through part two, I have to admit. You know, I'm trying to finish up, you know, these documentaries. They're long for me. And
as far as I get it, where did you stop? I'm curious.
Okay, let me see. It was right at the, you know, where, what's her name? The Indian woman. Here we are doing everything at the same time, so everybody is as puzzled. Anyhow, she was just talking about that they went from phase zero to phase three all of a sudden, you know, no in between. Yes. So it's, yeah, I'm basically at the half hour mark. You know, I have another hour or a little less to go. But this is my burning question. It's like, oh my gosh, is it true that you never got that huge 9 terabytes of data back?
Yeah, no, I was not able to get it back, and it's legally, lawfully mine. So, just stay tuned with all of that. Hopefully, there's, you know, way that I can get remedy back for it, as it's lawfully mine. But we'll see. I mean, it's been so long. That's why I essentially went to go work undercover for James. I went to go get this information back. So I was able to get some of it back, not all of it. You know, I didn't have this footage before I took that job, unfortunately. Right. So we can, you know, it's a long story, obviously, but I was working at Pfizer and I was a naive 23-year-old young guy, and I was naive, gave the information away and didn't back it up for myself based off of just the circumstances, and understanding how to use these cameras is nuts. So, you know, I was happy enough I could do that versus, I don't know, I was just too trustworthy, you know, and I beat myself still. But I mean, what are you supposed to do? You know, you got to learn.
I did that, I mean, in college, and it wasn't 9 terabytes of data, but it was, you know, my only copy of a 10-page paper. It was the one paper I was most proud of, and I didn't make a copy, and I gave it to my professor, and he lost it. And this is before, you know, computers, we were doing stuff on typewriters, you know? So, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is like the most important 10-page paper I ever wrote. I mean, for me, you know, in my heart and soul, you know, it was a, you know, about, it was a, well, anyway, that's, it's neither here nor there, but I've just, you learn in your 20s for sure that you can't just trust people, and you want to be able to, but, you know, if you value your data, you always make a copy. and it's a hard lesson. I mean, for you, I mean, I no wonder you're driven. I mean, I would be really driven if I lost that amount of whistleblowing data, you know, but you recovered a lot with what you're putting out. So you got pieces of it.
Is yeah, right? Absolutely. And I mean, if I don't get it back, the story is still being told in the form of, like, I had to talk about what Nick Warren, the vice president of Pfizer Biotherapeutics Pharmaceutical Sciences is his title. And he, like, publicly disclosed this, but Pfizer didn't, like, really make it publicly known that this was the case, where with the 5 to 11-year-old emergency use approval, there were two formulations that were in the conversation: the phosphate buffer saline at the minus 80 degrees Celsius temperature, and then there's the Tris buffer, which was the one that ended up being approved. The Tris buffer differentiates, like, in the last step of the formulation, where they switched out this buffer system. And while the vice president and Pfizer and, you know, the FDA, like, they essentially came to a bioequivalence agreement that it's okay that we switched the formulation on the last step because the lipid nanoparticle and the mRNA are the exact same thing. But I just find it pretty ridiculous because it is a different storage temperature long term. And, you know, the fact that they weren't doing the clinical testing for the exact formulation that was about to go into millions, if not billions of kids, is ludicrous, if you ask me, even as a young scientist. You know, like, I just thought it was absurd. And
so let me just stop you there. So you're saying that the final formula that was actually dispensed to millions of people worldwide was not the same that was in the clinical trials?
For the 5 to 11-year-old approval, yes.
Okay. Now, how is that one different? I mean, I know you stated it in your video a little bit, but, you know, I was like, I want people to be really clear that what they're giving to children is different than what they from the formula that was given to adults.
Well, so it has to do with the Tris buffer versus the phosphate buffer saline. The PBS is different, as it long term has to be stored at minus 80 degrees Celsius, and the Tris buffer doesn't have to be stored at 2 to 8 degrees Celsius, but it allows for an ease of use, which is why that they were using the Tris buffer during the approval.
Okay, hold on. Just don't need to interrupt. We are coming up on a break. Yeah, this will be a little bit of a, like, this is the longest break. I mean, if you know, as the bottom of the hour. So hang on, listening to Justin Leslie, and just tune in after the break.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC.
1-7-932-6419. Okay, welcome back. So we were just finishing up, Justin. I mean, you were like actually breaking in the middle of the sentence about the difference between these two formulas and how one doesn't need to be kept at such a low temperature. The one for children is easier to use or something. So, I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be kept at below 80. And maybe if you went back, we backtracked and find why does it have to be kept at such low temperatures? I mean, I remember going through some of this before, but it was like, really? You know, like all of a sudden it comes alive, you know, when you
hit. That's a brilliant question. I mean, and Ingrid, it's really hard to even put an answer to that other than, yeah, is something alive literally in these vials? And I mean, I literally, you know, I can't affirm that slash like I know that this is a fact, but you know, based off of my entire whistleblower story, like when I was the source who, you know, put these under a microscope with Carrie Madej, and you know, I was her source. She went on Stu Peters' show, and I was there that night, you know, where we witnessed what happened with these vials under a microscope. And in the Johnson & Johnson vial, actually, because there were, she had brought two other ones, and then I had supplied the Pfizer. And the Johnson & Johnson vial, I mean, I always start with that one just because that's the first one we looked at while my thawing. The Johnson & Johnson had this black disc, and it was, there was this, I don't want to call it a device, but it was some like organism, really, you know, that kind of was just spinning around this disc, and it looked like it had a mind of its own. It was going back and forth. I don't know if it was like just some air bubble with some dust or if it was something that like literally has a mind of its own, but it was the scariest thing that I've ever witnessed on a microscope slide, that's for sure. And then the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines both looked pretty similar, but they had this like spider web like look to it where they have were like black and purple and dark blue shards all over the slide. And there were some like pictures of these water parasites almost. And so, you know, I don't know what really what necessarily is alive. I don't mean to fearmonger anybody that is taking these injections either by any means, as I do believe that our bodies are brilliant and we can truly detox from this type of medical intervention, you know, regardless of whether it's a poison or not, you know, which it is, but you know, people can heal from this as well. But I mean, people also got duped into taking this mRNA technology that, you know, they're learning more and more about, that it's not exactly what they were really marketed to take. It's not exactly a vaccine. It's more this gene technology that we're still learning about, you know, like Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson haven't exactly been forthright as to what was in these shots at all. So,
well, they were given the formula from what we understand by DARPA. DARPA, you know, is the most dark aspect of our military, and that was by Obama. Obama gave them, after, you know, H1N1, the authority to create, you know, fast-tracked vaccines for should there be a future pandemic. So they started right away on something that is akin to transhumanism, you know, like turning us into half robot and half human and kicking out our soul. And that was really what they were working on. And then they gave their formula to Pfizer, Moderna, and J&J. And these are all, you know, deep state type companies, and it is creepy. I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard of Hope and Tavon in South Africa, but they've done major deep dives into this too. And some people remember Morgellons. I don't know if you're old enough to even remember Morgellons, but Morgellons is the same kind of thing where you have these smart fibers, you know, growing in your body. And they come out of your skin, and people that, you know, have this are, you know, I mean, there's a couple people that have recovered, but it's, you know, very creepy where this, you know, foreign stuff is replicating in the body. And these vaccines seem to be like that, you know, where it's taking over, you know, our, you know, somehow invades our cells and then, you know, starts taking over the normal, you know, stuff in our body. I mean, it's very, very creepy. Very, very creepy. And you were seeing this stuff. So what was, you know, I have to ask this, you know, like, obviously you started, like, you were there like over a year and you started seeing more and more stuff. What was that point in time where you felt like there's things that just aren't right that is going on, that you just, you know, you started really documenting and feeling uncomfortable? Was it when you first brought that to, like, you know, Nick Warren's attention, or?
No, it was before that.
Okay.
I mean, I felt like I was walking on eggshells my entire time working at Pfizer, because I always felt like I knew something was always deeply wrong, and I was pretty much always concerned. It was just a matter of, yeah, I was walking on eggshells. I totally knew better. I knew that the vaccines were not safe or effective. And like, that's why I reached out to Project Veritas, like, before I even worked there. I worked there for 6 months, reached out to them. I worked there for 7 months, reached out to them again. And then they finally connected with me and wanted to work with me. I was this unwitting young man that was like, okay, like, I literally am taking this job as a formulation scientist to go work for the enemy to help, you know, not stay on the sidelines and really, you know, help bring truth to light, you know. And did I do it in a perfect way? Absolutely not. Like, if I could do it 100 times over again, I'd probably never do it this way ever again. But this is how it played out. You know, if I could have, you know, I would have hung on to everything or just literally done it all myself, you know, versus even having to rely on James in the sense. But like, I felt like I had to go to James because he was this, you know, beacon of truth. And like this king, he calls himself, I mean, he's not literally the self-proclaimed king of investigative journalism, but like a lot of people perceive him as that. And I mean, you know, I just really, you know, it broke my heart the way it all played out. You know, I fooled myself to trust them. And I mean, they betrayed me in the sense of they strung me along for 3 months doing everything that I was doing. And if they weren't going to be forthright, like they were telling me I was a secret weapon whistleblower, essentially, like, you're our secret weapon, like, we're gonna, you know, really get them with you type stuff is what I was hearing. And they're like,
so they were you felt really strung along and encouraged while you're gathering more stuff and not making copies or some of it.
And yeah, I mean, I shoot myself in the foot with that, obviously, but I was just, you know, I wasn't the biggest tech guy in the world, and like, I hardly knew how to use these cameras, let alone how to upload SD cards to my computer. And like, I wasn't making a lot of money either, you know, I really wasn't. I was hardly making any money. And so, you know, like, I wasn't hiring a lawyer and doing anything like that. I was just like, all right, I'm gonna go expose crimes against humanity and figure out the rest. But, you know, I didn't back any of it up. So that's why I ended up going to work at Project Veritas after I got offered job instead of blowing the whistle. You know, it was, you know, they made it seem like it was like up to me that like, oh, like James was like, well, I can't release your story. And then I like asked for my footage back and then they wouldn't give it back. And, you know, it just is really unfortunate because
It's heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking when you trust another person. Now, Melissa McAfee, did you work with her? And I mean, she seems to be about your age, right?
So she's only like 5 or 6 years older than me. She's not that much older than me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like only 31 or 32, and I'm 26. So I connected with Melissa only really recently, honestly. I don't know if you were able to watch. We did a podcast together on Vax Choice, and I connected with Melissa actually in, I think, October or November, or yes, like right towards the end of 2023 is I think when I connected with her, because I reached out to her law group that she's connected to and works for, Todd Callender, and so I worked with them and they helped me put together these affidavits. And you know, these are where my affidavits for crimes against humanity come from. My lawyer helped me draw them up, and I tweaked them how I wanted them in, you know, finalized terms, but she helped me put the whole thing together, you know. So, and Melissa's been a huge support. I mean, she told me that when, you know, I basically disclosed to her that James O'Keefe went to the Bohemian Grove this midsummer, that her entire world flipped upside down, because she, you know, she thought the world of James too. Like, I mean, she's a real whistleblower, you know, so for her to have gone through what she's gone through, but also still is able to empathize with me in the sense that she had parts of her story that weren't fully put out, you know, so she had to go on other platforms and tell her story that way. So, you know, she empathized with me in the sense that, like, you get sucked into wanting to work with Project Veritas as a whistleblower source, you know, because James is like, be brave, do something. Like, oh, you know, if you're a whistleblower, come work with us because we're the only trustworthy people. But then you go to him with all this bombshell information and then it goes nowhere. Or, you know, you have to go to another news organization. And my situation was so unique because I was doing like the insider stuff in the sense that it was really only obtainable at one point in time. It's not like it was documentation that I was really giving. It was all this other, you know, I was obtaining the information, you know, through a camera, you know, so it's only a one-time shot. And when I gave away, like I call it the Willy Wonka's golden ticket, of a whistleblower story, like, yeah, like, good luck getting it back, you know, like, considering the excuses that Project Veritas was giving me, you know, and I also find it all ludicrous, you know. I mean, I was witnessing crimes against humanity and was ready to, like, go to bat for the world, you know, and help save, like, millions of lives. And they were saying, oh, like, you broke recording consent laws, even though, you know, we gave you the recording equipment to use in this state, you know. So, like, they totally knew what was going on, and they still, like, even let me do all of it for 3 months. So, you know, their explanations don't necessarily add up there. And then I think the FBI raid during my whistleblower time period is also a huge, like, red flag, in the sense that it, you know, it just, it was the perfect timing to shut me up. They used it as an excuse to shut me up as well. And, you know, in the FBI raid, they don't mention me at all. Like, there's nothing that has anything to do with me. It all has to do with Ashley Biden's diary, which was a story that they were working on for, like, over a year prior and literally never released and gave to law enforcement. So, you know, does it really add up as an excuse when, you know, a week prior was the whole Stu Peters, Carrie Madej expose where she's talking about how there was a Pfizer whistleblower working with Project Veritas who provided this information. I don't know what's more believable, my story or the other one, you know, like, and it's not like I can't corroborate what was happening, you know, like, I mean, it's been my life, you know, and I've seen all these other narratives playing out and, like, in real time with this FBI raid happening. I felt like it was very suspicious, you know? And so, I mean, James will be like, oh, I got raided by the FBI. But it's like, well, that's great. But the reality of the situation is, you know, if you are that high up in the media, you know, this is where we get into the versions of whatever version of Operation Mockingbird we potentially have in our media today, is like, how involved is James in, the government in any way, shape, or form? Is he? I don't know. But I mean, he went to Bohemian Grove, and Clarence Thomas and Speaker McCarthy have been members there before. Ex-presidents have been there before. So, you know, I'm just raising questions, simply.
Well, exactly. He made it like a lot of his donors go to Bohemian Grove, and he didn't see anything funny. And the way he said it from the footage you had was very suspicious. It was like, he knew he was lying. It was very weird.
Yeah.
I mean, did you catch that too? I mean, it wasn't like, wow, no, I really didn't see anything. I mean, it was very cagey, kind of.
Oh, 100%, because I put him in a corner.
All right. You
know, like, he didn't necessarily expect me on my resignation call to flip on him, but I did, you know, I mean, it's a difficult spot when, you know, I couldn't imagine explaining to my entire journalist team that I went to the Bohemian Grove and I'm, like, this trustworthy individual, apparently, who is all grassroots from his own, you know, he says he's a grassroots guy. But, I mean, if you look into James and do the research, I mean, he is potentially connected way, you know, he might not have those grassroots connections, at least from the looks of everything, in the sense of how he got started with all of this.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, I mean, all of us are, you know, fascinated, because, you know, you don't just all of a sudden climb with that much know-how of how to have this huge outreach unless you go to some, you know, Harvard Business School, or you have someone on your staff that knows how to do this incredible outreach with this kind of technology. I mean, you know, Stu Peters, I mean, he all of a sudden hit the scene running, you know, and he had a huge outreach too. But I trust Stu Peters more than James O'Keefe at this point, you know.
Well, yeah, Stu Peters isn't going to Bohemian Grove, I think, at this point. So, you know, take that for what it is.
Yeah, no, I would doubt it, really. I mean, he has a family and a couple of kids and ex-cop, and, you know, I mean, this is like, he's in law enforcement, he's a pissed off guy that things have devolved to this point. Yeah, I mean, you can sense that in here. He's a very passionate, but yeah, so anyway, Oh, there's so much to talk about. I mean, you know, your documentaries are lengthy but meaty. There's so much we all learned just looking at. I mean, it's like each part is like so packed. And, you know, I kind of want you to talk about, you know, things that, you know, the Nick Warren stuff was really incredible. I mean, he's still there. And he's, you know, certainly not. I mean, all of these people that are still at Pfizer, you can't really trust any of them.
No, definitely not. It's not like you can trust any of them. It's because, I mean, they're all programmed to believe that they were doing the right thing, too. I mean, all of my colleagues, I felt like, thought that they were doing the right thing with this vaccine rollout, but I mean,
wait, doing the right thing. They were all released. They weren't supposed to even take the shot. I mean, all of them were given the rights to not take the shot.
Oh, right? Absolutely. No, but like 90% plus still took it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. They, wow. All these people like were taking the vaccine, except for me and maybe a handful of people that have reached out to me through a friend of these colleagues, ex-colleagues of mine, told me that these people that I didn't even work with directly got vaccinated. It was more like walking on eggshells angry, where you were expected to be vaccinated, and if you weren't vaccinated, then you were like of the devil type stuff, you know. So I didn't I didn't have these types of conversations with anybody. You know, I did all of this, kept to myself. There was no like-minded individual that I came across by any means. So, you know, I feel like, for example, Conwell Gill is not necessarily like evil in the sense of she didn't know better. She quite literally was going through programming and is, you know, that is a situation. But, I mean, she still is part of this criminal racket that played out. You know, same with, and I mean, I can't necessarily speak for their true intentions. But, you know, I, at least for Conwell, I feel like there is, you know, some leeway there. But, I mean, with Ramin and Nick Warren, I mean, who knows if they really knew that this entire time these vaccines were killing people and they didn't care and turned a blind eye because they were getting paid $300K, $400K, $500K. Who knows how much money Pfizer was throwing at them to just keep their mouths shut and put these vaccines into the arms of as many people and kids as possible. I don't know. You know, I don't know.
I mean, we heard early on, you know, in social media that, I mean, they had non-disclosure agreements and they were given paid off like $1 million to not disclose how harmful these shots were.
Yeah. I mean,
it's just like siblings, you know, where they're confiding in a sibling and then it would be leaked out on social media.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I don't also mean to give Conwell like a free pass either. I think that what she says is really damning as well. I mean, she literally goes on to explain like this 50-year conspiracy where mRNA technology has been around for 50 years, like she says. And then DARPA was, you know, DARPA created Moderna, which is, you know, crazy. Moderna has been around 10 years, can never get this technology out. And Pfizer was working on this since 2018. BioNTech gave them a call, said, hey, we have this RNA technology. Katherine Jensen goes, oh, yeah, let's do it. I'll help you formulate it. So they were working on it in 2018. That's literally, what, a year and a half until, you know, COVID hit. And then bing, bang, boom, this thing gets thrown together in 9 months. And they just say, she literally goes, roll it out, roll it out, roll it out. You know, it's a time to think. It's not a time to think. It was a time to act. Are you serious? When you're dealing with an injection that is going into billions of people across the world, I mean, can we look at it from a 40,000 foot step back and be like, wow, how the hell did we let this happen as a human race? You know, like, that's the way I'm looking at this right now. And I mean, are we more prepared now than for the next pandemic? Absolutely. But I mean, still, I still think we have such a long way to go. There are so many of these, you know, quote unquote sheeple out there that aren't critically thinking at all, you know, and I mean,
well, you know, for most of us, I mean, just so you know, most of my listeners, they understand the next pandemic is, you know, all for the bankers of the World Economic Forum, you know, to depopulate. I mean, it's all about poisoning. You know, that's, it's, forget the virus. It's all about mass poisoning, you know, and, you know, this is like what they're doing with the, you know, contrails, chemtrails, geoengineering, you know, I mean, you don't even know what the hell they're putting in that stuff that they're spewing out of planes now. I mean, what, you know, look at artists' stuff. I mean, it, you know, everything that's therapeutic in reversing this stuff, or, you know, the spike protein or whatever, all seems to point to venoms, you know, whether it's from snakes or scorpions or whatever. And they have been, there's all the documentation that he's uncovered of them exploring that, and they have, you know, cloning technology, and they have all kinds of ways of duplicating, you know, the venoms of you know, different poisonous insects and snakes and you name it, right? Plants. I mean, they have all that. They have the technology to do that, you know.
Yeah,
the continuous cell lines, all of it, you know. So it's just like, and that's the only thing that really made sense to me. But then, you know, we've been talking about this, there's obviously other factors in this, so, you know, the protein itself, you know, is this I don't know. You know, I mean, there's so many components to this whole thing. So anyway, we're gonna take it up in the second hour, because I want to know about your understanding of what some of the components in the shot are, because it's so bizarre. Yeah. But thanks.
Publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.